quite
unusual.
Hello and welcome to the Quite Unusual podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I am Noelle.
And we are your hosts.
Nicole?
Yes?
I have to talk to you about something.
Okay.
James bumped my nose.
I need to tell you something.
He took it out in broad daylight and he bumped it.
I had no idea where you were going when you said that because your brother's name is James.
And oh, yeah.
I thought you were like talking about him. But to give you guys a little context here, we were watching the last season of Vanderpump Rules, which is terrible.
I have literally seen 30 minutes of this show in my entire life.
There was a plot point where one of the guys on the show accidentally bumped one of the girls on the show when she had her, like, was healing from a nose job. And that was a plot point for that show.
I was never into, I like watched Jersey Shore, like, you know, everyone did.
Everyone did, yeah.
But I was never like into reality shows before we started living together. And now I am deeply obsessed with how bad they are. And I love them so much. Except Fuckboy Island is genuinely very
good. Fuckboy Island is like the reality show to end all reality shows.
It's the best one of all time.
Yes. And I'm so glad I did this for you.
Thank you. Because literally watching a woman go, Lisa, I need to talk to you. And Lisa Vanderpump's like, what is it, darling? And she's like, James bumped my nose.
And did he hit you?
No. He bumped.
No.
Why do they like not have end? There's like no inflection in their voices. Except Kourtney Kardashian is like, she's so rude.
Oh, yeah. That's like the only emphasis mm-hmm. that the Kardashians have.
They like shake a salad and they're like, I don't have anything. Cam, you're so, literally so rude.
Yeah. My favorite is when they go, yeah.
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 Maybe this reality talk is why I have something to tell you. You're not going to be happy about it.
Did someone bump your nose?
Worse.
Well, okay. What happened?
Someone gave us a bad review.
What?
Like,
we haven't gotten a new review in months.
I think we actually had, you're right. We have it, but it's a new one.
Are you shitting me?
The title is, hold on, let me pull this up. First of all, it's
what's their name?
Their name is Chris Bliss. With KHRISS, more like Piss Bliss.
That's fucking right.
Chris Piss.
Chris Dix.
So the title is so bad, and then the comment is, I last 60 seconds, horrible, which I'm saying that sounds like a personal problem that you only last 60 seconds,
honestly,
Chris.
Your wife is probably so upset that you only last 60
seconds. What does that have to do with us?
I'm sorry.
That you only last 60 seconds.
You know what? You know what? Chris, give me your number. Give me your number. Yeah. You only last 60 seconds? I'll show her what's up.
Yeah. This was about a week ago we got this.
I last
yes, exactly.
60 seconds.
Horrible.
I'm obsessed. That's really good.
Yeah.
I gotta see this.
And what I have to say is, if you don't have anything nice to say.
No, you know what? Say it. I like it.
Don't say anything at all. And also, maybe give us more than 60 seconds. I feel like we could change your mind.
We're nice guys.
We could probably change your mind. 60 seconds? You don't know if you like something, but 60 seconds of anything. Okay?
Yeah. Honestly,
you never know.
I'd like to talk to them. I'd like to bump their nose.
Well, they only last 60 seconds, and therefore they will not be listening to this episode, probably.
That's what I'm saying, man. Their wife.
I know, right? Sorry about your wife. You know what? We'll fuck your wife for you.
I'll fuck your wife. Fucking give me your number. I got nerves.
You know what? Chris, if I could write a personal review for you, I would say, so bad, I'll fuck your wife.
Yeah.
So bad, horrible. Give me your wife's number. I'll fuck her.
Hey, and Nicole's very straight, so that's impressive.
Yeah.
100%. You know what? Chris's wife, if you're listening right now, what's up, girl?
You know what would be even funnier, though, is if they were like, you know what? Let me give them one more chance. And then they decided to listen to like the next episode.
Yeah, you know what? I just have something to say right now.
I'll fuck your wife.
And so like they're listening to this episode right now, and now they're like, those bitches. And now then they go back on and they give us another review, and it's like a rebuttal to us.
They fucked my shit. Wife and then she left me.
Someone please leave us that review.
If someone doesn't leave a review that says
5 stars, they fucked my wife and now she left me. Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up because I was editing, and obviously you can only look at I was looking at our ratings on iTunes because I was on my laptop, and I was
this, you know, is what it says. I'm gonna put this out there, personal challenge for all you sweet little, for the QU army, okay? If you leave a review, 5 stars, that says, they fucked my wife and then she left me, I will personally send you a handwritten note. And I'll, like, put lipstick on and, like, kiss it or something.
Remember when we were sending people crayons?
You know, I was carving people's names into crayons.
And then I feel like we stopped getting reviews because then you stopped carving crayons and people just got mad. Maybe he did a review once and you never sent him a crayon.
I sent out all those crayons.
Did you?
That were supposed to be carved.
You were supposed to draw pictures, too, but I don't think you ever
did. I never drew any pictures. You know what? I'm going to triple down right now. You leave us a review, and it does, if it's just a normal review, not about fucking your wife, I will personally draw a picture of you and Nicole and I, and I will mail it to you.
Yes.
So send us a screenshot of your review. And I promise you,
She promises. Oh, well, I mean, in the news of pictures, we actually got, this is happier news too, we got a really cute hand-drawn picture of cat aliens, because we were talking about cat aliens on an episode, from Leanne S., who she wrote to us and drew us this cute little picture. Also, at the Mystical Dragonfly on Instagram.
That's such a cute name.
She's got a whole bunch of other art, so check her out. And also, thank you for the drawing, Leanne.
Yeah, thank you.
It's adorable, and it's going to hang in our studio.
It is. And also, Chris Rottenhell.
Yeah, Chris plays Rottenhell. But Leanne, we love you. We love you so much.
Leanne, rot in heaven.
Thrive in heaven.
And what's the difference of rotting?
Thrive.
Bloom.
Yes.
Bloom in heaven.
Bloom in heaven.
Bloom in, you know what? Bloom in onions. All the flowers in heaven are blooming onions.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then what are the flowers in hell? Piles of dog shit.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot better than what I was going to say.
What were you going to say?
I don't think I should say it.
Say it.
I say a lot of fucked up shit on this show.
I can bleep it. Wait, where's the bleeper?
It's... You got it? Oh, yeah, check out your cheat sheet.
Oh, yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I don't even want to say... Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Prolapse assholes.
Did that make it through? You didn't say it fast enough, so that's on you.
Okay, wait, hold it longer. Go.
That it only goes for a certain amount of time, so you have to say it.
Go. Pops asshole. We did it again. Pops asshole. It's hard to say fast.
I don't even know what you're saying.
Prolapse assholes.
Oh, okay.
Well, now I said it. So.
All right, do you guys want to get into this episode?
I'm really sorry. This is why people don't last.
This is why people only last 60 seconds.
You know what? We have a certain.
We have a brand.
Je ne sais quoi that some people like and some people don't like.
And you know what? And actually, it was kind of disappointing because you can click on that person's name and then like see other things that they've rated. And the only other podcast that they rated badly was the Ben Shapiro podcast. No. Us. And then every other one was like, I love this podcast. This is my favorite podcast. I was Chris pissing my pants when I read it. Yeah. So
Ben Shapiro thinking his own sister is hot fame. Yeah.
So it was just really funny because I was like, those, like, this is the best podcast ever. This podcast does such great research. I could listen to this for hours. And then but they rated him a 2. So they rated us worse than
Lower than Ben Shapiro. I last 60 seconds. What type of other podcasts was he listening to?
It doesn't say what, unless it's in like what he wrote.
Yeah.
Or I guess it could be a her.
Maybe. Whoever it is, I'll fuck their wife.
We'll fuck your wife.
And you know what? If they're not married, I'll fuck your mom.
I'll fuck your sister. Yeah. So that was a little, a funny little tidbit. But
that was hilarious.
If we want to get into the episode.
Anyways, yeah, this is off to a rocky start.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever played the game Bloody Mary?
Okay, I have a Bloody Mary story.
Okay. Can you please tell it?
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I am so scared. I have the most irrational fears, okay?
Of Bloody Mary or just in general?
Just, I would say I'm scared of life in general, let's be honest. Okay. Everything is terrifying. Mm. Everything's a little bit scary. Irrational fears go as this. Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary's number one?
No, this is not in order.
Okay.
If I had to, do you want me to try to put it in order?
You don't have to. You could just spitball.
Okay. This is not in order. Bloody Mary, right? Mm-hmm. I'm terrified. Goes along with that, Candyman. Looking in the mirror and seeing something I shouldn't see.
What about Beetlejuice?
Not afraid of him. Don't say it two more times, please. Beetlejuice. Fuck! Fucking Michael Keaton's going to show up and he's got nothing to lose.
Oh, shit, he does have nothing
to lose. I haven't said that in a long time.
We haven't said that in a long time. I'm bringing it back.
Bringing it back. You know what else I'm scared of? Wicker wheelchairs.
They make wicker wheelchairs?
Like old-timey-ass wheelchairs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what else I'm scared of? Rubber Johnny.
Oh, Rubber Johnny.
Do you remember when Jenny Peters made me watch in the cafeteria in high school?
Yeah, we watched that.
She made me watch it, and I cried the whole time.
Yeah, all the way at the high school. YouTube Rubber Johnny, guys.
Don't do it.
Do it.
It made me cry.
Do it.
It made me cry.
I'd also like to point out that, so we had a Twilight-themed...
gorgeous.
We had a Twilight-themed joint birthday party 2 weekends ago because we both turned 32, and my birthday's in December, and Noelle's is in February, so we're like, let's do it in January.
Obviously.
And we had these little, like, blood bag where I, like, made a drink, and obviously it was red, and then I put it into a blood bag, and it's basically just, like, an adult juice box.
That's like a Capri Sun.
Yeah, it's like, it looks cute in its little blood bag, and we had leftovers, so we're drinking the leftovers right now because it's fitting. Because if you haven't guessed, this episode is on Bloody Mary.
Okay, so my Bloody Mary story.
Yes.
Okay, so I am so scared of looking in mirrors and seeing something that like I shouldn't see. Like that time I saw the ghost come out of the mirror. I feel like I sound like I'm schizophrenic on this show.
No,
I am not. I got tested.
People
I'm
believe.
That I will, if I go into a dark room and I know that there is a mirror, I will keep my eyes closed.
Why?
Because I'm scared of it. I'm also scared
of the dark. You have a mirror in your bedroom.
I don't look in it at night.
It's facing your fucking bed.
Jessica is keeping my eyelids very tightly closed.
Noelle has a face mask that she named Grandma Jessica for.
Everyone's learning a lot about me today.
They are.
Okay, so anyways, Bloody Mary.
Yes.
So I was at a sleepover in probably like sixth grade or something, right? Classic.
Yeah, that's what you do at sleepovers.
This is what you do. Like, mm-hmm. Did you even like have a sleepover if you didn't Bloody Mary this?
Right. Totally. Right? You didn't. You didn't have sleepovers so if you didn't play Bloody Mary.
So everyone's like, should we play Bloody Mary? And I was like, yeah, no, I gotta go home, actually. I forgot. I don't want to be here.
I was the kid saying, let's play Bloody Mary, bitches.
Yeah. I wonder if we would have been friends when we were little. Probably. You probably thought I would have thought I was like a pussy and like beat me up or something.
I definitely would have probably made you watch your first horror movie.
I watched that when I was like six.
Well, then fine.
I feel like we would have been fine. We would have been besties. Okay, so we go into this bathroom of a person who shall remain nameless. And everyone's like, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Like, in the mirror. And I'm like, I'm not gonna fucking look. And I opened my eyes and I looked in the mirror and someone grabbed my shoulder at the same moment. And I elbowed them in the mouth. And I was never invited to her house again.
Really?
Yeah.
Do I know this person?
We went to school with him, yeah.
With him?
Her, with them.
Oh. Who was it?
With her. No. You get into the beep?
Yeah. Who was it? Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know her.
And I elbowed in the mouth. Beep it out. You gotta.
I'll beep it. It'll be beeped.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah. So I didn't see Bloody Mary, but that's my Bloody Mary story. And I was so scared the whole time. And then when someone grabbed me, I just, it was like an automatic reaction, dude. My fuck, I was throwing bows at BM.
You know what?
I was like, I'll fuck a bitch up.
Bringing it back to what we talked about for the beginning of this episode, she kind of does have a fucked up nose. Did you bump her nose and make it that way?
I did bump her nose. Shit. I have something to tell you. I bumped her nose.
Well, this childhood memory and classic Chicago ghost story, which is
it?
Yeah, it's like really popular.
Hometown Haunts.
Yeah, we'll get to like the history and how it's really connected to Chicago. But I mean, I feel like it's everyone has played it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what has prompted me to do some research on where the game Bloody Mary actually came from. And there's even actually a WikiHow.
That's great, because there's a WikiHow on literally everything.
Yeah, on how to summon the spirit of Bloody Mary. But before we get into the official WikiHow, but I want to talk about like how we played, because there's different like ways of playing. So obviously, mm-hmm. if you're a girl and you've been to a sleepover, you've definitely played. I think we've chatted about this before. And
yes.
Like, what we've learned of dude sleepovers, like, girls did way more spooky
stuff.
We, like,
did, like, witchcraft and shit.
Light as a feather, stiff as a board was a staple at every sleepover. And I might be the only one here, but me and my friends mostly rented horror movies, too. And boys just, like, I don't know, played video games and watched weird porn that, like, one of them stole gross. From their older brother or dad.
Oh, shit, we talked about that in a recent episode, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Girls, like, we summon demons and shit at
oh, hell yeah. Dude, you did, like, blood magic.
Yeah, so the way I played it was mm-hmm. always, you go into the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
you turn off the lights, yep. and you just say Bloody Mary 3 times.
That's how you play.
Right? And she's supposed to, like, scratch you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you played it too?
Yeah, you say it 3 times in the mirror with okay. the lights off.
Yeah, because there are varying. There are different ways.
She shows up or like touches your shoulder and you like throw a bow.
My way was always she's supposed to scratch you. So I don't know. If you guys have played different ways, let us know. Or if you have stories where you like threw some bows and knocked some little girls out at a sleepover, let us know.
Well, I was also a little girl, so like it's fine.
I guess. So I've also always personally played Bloody Mary with another person.
Yes.
Like, at a sleepover, and I was the freak child because I have gone into it by myself, like in the bathroom, volunteered, because that's just how I was as a kid.
Do you ever, I have a question for you, do you ever like go to the bathroom like in the middle of the night or something, and then you just like get this like impulsive urge to like do it in the mirror?
I've done it like here before.
I literally fucking hate
Well, if you're lucky, she scratches you. Or if you want to freak out your little sister or possibly your roommate, you'll scratch yourself and, like, say it was her. Because I've definitely done that before, too.
Are you serious?
What, scratch myself and said it was Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a younger sister, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm. Do you think okay. I'm not
going to
fuck with
no,
her?
No, obviously you're going to. I thought you meant to me.
Oh, no. I've never told you it was Bloody Mary. I mean, I have done it in the mirror, I'm pretty sure. I've also done Candyman, you know, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually what the WikiHow, I guess, how the WikiHow says you're supposed to play it.
Okay. How do we WikiHow this?
This is how you WikiHow.
Okay.
You go into the bathroom, you turn off all the lights, and you close the door behind you.
Check.
You place a candle on the sink in front of the mirror, and you light it.
Oh, okay.
Then
ambiance.
Yeah. Then you look into the mirror, and you chant Bloody Mary 3 times with your eyes open. Then you are supposed to wait for her to appear in the mirror. According to WikiHow, she is supposed to look something like an old witch.
We should do this on Instagram Live.
We should honestly do this on Instagram Live. But if she doesn't appear, this is the part that I wasn't familiar with, but I think I've heard this before, but
okay.
So if she doesn't appear, you're supposed to spin around in a circle 3 times, because spinning is supposed to make her show up.
Okay.
And after you spin around 3 times and she is still not there, you're supposed to spin around another 3 times in the other direction.
Oh, unwind it. Okay.
To get her to come, uh-huh. I guess. And then if you don't see her, you're supposed to blow out the candle and go back to your friends. So, like, obviously you failed. She didn't want to talk to you or scratch you, I guess.
Wow, you're not cool enough for Bloody Mary.
But according to the legend, if the ritual is performed correctly, and yeah, it's kind of like a ritual if you think about it.
It is, yeah, for sure.
But if you do it correctly, she will appear and reach out of the mirror and scratch your face. Or if you're really, really unlucky, she will then attach herself to you and haunt you forever.
Cool. That's going to be me.
She's going to attach herself. You're going to see her in your mirror. It's funny to me that you are afraid of mirrors because your bed is here and you have a mirror like directly across from your bed.
That stares
at you at all times.
I have so many mirrors.
There's one right here in this attic too.
So sometimes if I'm up here alone, like sitting here, like waiting for you or like when you like let poo out or whatever, mm-hmm. I'll like catch a glimpse of it and I'm like,
and you look away.
And I like won't look at the mirror. Yeah.
Oh, you're funny. Well, some variations say that the mirror will drip with blood.
Ooh.
Or that the person summoning her, their hair will turn white. Oh my gosh. Your hair's white.
I done seen Bloody Mary.
Did you see Bloody Mary?
I seen her. Seen her my own two eyes.
That's why half of Noelle's head is blonde now.
I seen half of her face.
Well, it's white, actually. Yeah.
Honestly, like, I could use it because, like, purple shampoo is expensive and, like, Bloody Mary, if you could just, like, help me, like, get a little platinum moment happening.
And then you won't have to always redo your roots.
That would be so cool. Okay, now I want to talk to Bloody Mary.
Yeah, so she can turn your hair white or you'll just simply disappear without a trace and no one will see you again.
Honestly, so, if you disappear, you don't have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
So that's cool, too. I do.
Right.
That. Yeah, let's go.
You know, it doesn't say where you go. You could go to, like, some other fun dimension somewhere.
Oh, yeah. What if you go to, like, the Bermuda Triangle? I feel like nothing has been happening there lately.
No. Not at all. I mean, vacation.
Fun. Hey.
Some variations of the chant include saying, I believe in Bloody Mary, which is, I think, the one that we used to do. Mm. I think we used to say, I believe in Bloody Mary. I believe in Bloody Mary. I believe in Bloody Mary. Uh-oh, she's going to come. But just simply Bloody Mary or I killed your baby Bloody Mary.
Okay, that's...
Which is another thing that I guess people say, and it seems very aggressive.
I don't like that one.
Right.
That one seems like really mean, actually.
That's the one where you're going to disappear without a trace.
That's like so mean.
Yeah, legend says that if Mary does in fact appear or come out of the mirror, she will be angry because you called her. And
she was right in the middle of dinner. What are you, a telemarketer?
Right. Basically, that's what these people, that's what they are. So she'll either scream at you, steal your soul, drink your blood.
Okay.
Scratch you or claw your eyes out.
Like both eyes or just like one?
Honestly, it didn't specify. So like it could be either or.
All right, sly.
Sounds like super fun to me. I don't know. But the game of Bloody Mary was actually played a little bit differently back in the 19th century. It wasn't a fun game that you played with friends, but more so a ritual of sorts.
Like okay.
Not just like a summoning ritual for Bloody Mary.
Oh, okay.
So this game was played by unmarried women.
That's us.
In an attempt to show them the face of their future husbands.
That's us.
We got to do it.
I want to see my future husband is.
This game or ritual, I should say, was performed by having a woman walk backwards up a flight of stairs with all of the lights out except for a candle that she was supposed to hold. Mm. So she's supposed to hold a candle in one hand, and then in the other hand, the woman was instructed to hold a mirror. And in it, she would gaze as she walked up the stairs. And in the mirror, the woman should see the face of her husband. But there was also a chance the woman might see something else.
I just want to let you know that I have goosebumps.
Do you?
I'm picturing myself doing this up the attic stairs, and I am mildly having a panic attack right now.
Well, that's okay. I'll do it first.
No!
Let's try it out. So, if a woman didn't see the face of a handsome man, or I guess a not handsome man, either or.
Just the ugliest man you've ever seen.
I'd be like, damn it.
Ben Shapiro? Fuck.
So if you saw a skull staring back at you, or the face of the Grim Reaper, in that case, that meant that the woman would die before she had the chance to marry.
Honestly, single women live longer.
Well, maybe she would just never get married and then die of old age.
Die at
That's
like
possible too.
100.
So basically, it's a form of scrying or catoptromancy.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Catoptromancy.
Catoptromancy. I like that.
Yeah, which is basically just divination by using a reflective surface like a mirror or a glass ball or a glass. So they're kind of like the same thing. And some have suggested that there is a scientific explanation for the people who claim that they have truly seen Bloody Mary's ghostly form.
I am obsessed with this because I have researched at length what I think you're going to talk about because of my fear of what my
Give us your two cents after I
spit
some game.
All right, spit it, girl.
All right, so staring in a mirror or a reflective surface in low light for long periods of time can cause our perception to distort, and sooner or later our minds will start to play tricks on us and we can see what we want to.
Okay, yeah, so I've looked this up like extensively because like, have you ever done this? Have you ever looked in the mirror in low light for a really long time at your own face? I'm pretty
sure we talked about this, well, some form of it in our last episode. Remember when you brought up, like, the pile of clothes that turns into a monster?
Yes, yes.
So,
our minds, so human minds do this thing, and some science person, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just spitballing here. Like, I've, like, read a lot about it, but, like, I might be wrong here.
But she's not a scientist, so, like, don't give a shit.
I'm a doctor. I'm a medical doctor, not a scientist.
She's a learned doctor.
Please. So, our brains are like in this constant state of like anticipating what is about to happen and what we are about to see, because it's like a predator thing, right?
Yeah.
So when you look in the mirror, you're looking for, your brain is anticipating something it's going to see. So it kind of like makes some stuff up a little bit, but at the same time, it's trying to look for familiar shapes, like faces, because since we're like predators, that's what you scan for,
right?
Basically. So when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself, first of all, we don't know what we look like.
That's true. We look different to ourselves than we look to other people.
Yes, exactly. So when you look in the mirror for a really long time, you like get this like distorted view of what your face looks like because you don't really know what you look like. And you're like trying to like sort it out. And your brain is like, it's definitely a person. It's definitely me. I'm a sentient being that like understands what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's like your brain like melts it into like this weird shape. But I always wonder if like when I look in the mirror, just in general or whatever, I feel like I look different a lot. Like every day I look like slightly different.
Yes.
But I also have actual face blindness.
You do have face blindness.
I know. So
I'll see a face once and remember it for the rest of my
life. I will never remember it.
I will remember you if I see your face.
I remember faces. Like I know what your face looks like. But sometimes I look at you when you look different.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Like cuter or no?
I mean, like always. Like, hey. Okay. Like, what's up? But yeah, like even like people like I've known my whole life, sometimes I'll look at them and they look slightly different. And I just chalk it up to like a face blindness thing.
And is it a part of this whole like your brain thing you were talking about?
Yeah. It's like it's like the same thing. It's like your brain's like, I know this is a person, but I'm like trying to sort out who or what it is.
So when it's not a person, your brain just kind of like preemptively thinks that it's going to be like a person. So then you think that you're seeing one in the mirror. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Thank you for, yes, exactly. Okay. Thank you for taking my word salad and turning it into a sandwich.
or a soup.
Or breadstick.
Or breadstick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so while no one can firmly say when the legend was first brewed up, we do know that it was firmly established in the United States in the 1970s due to an essay published in Indiana Folklore, a reader, in 1976.
Okay, that's really recent.
Yeah, so the essay was written by folklorist Janet Langlois, and was titled Mary Wales, I Believe in You, Myth and Ritual Subdued.
I literally love a colon.
And in it, she featured a couple of versions of the legend.
Okay.
And I tried really, really, really hard to find the story of Mary Wales, because apparently that's what she was talking about. That's who I guess she subscribed the Bloody Mary to be, was this woman named Mary Wales who used to live in Indiana. But all I could find was that she's from Indiana lore. So if anyone from Indiana listens to this and you know this story, because I couldn't find anything on the internet. Just the fact that she's from Indiana lore and she was a girl who had her throat cut by her father.
Ugh.
And apparently her ghost bleeds from the neck, and that's why she's called Bloody Mary.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's fucked up.
Yeah. But mostly from what I found, Bloody Mary sort of originated in the Midwest. I mean, obviously. Chicago because, like, we'll get into it later, but, like, definitely there's a lot of Midwestern deep, like...
I love that.
In the
Legend She's a hometown Bloody Mary. Girl.
She is a hometown girl.
I love that. Yes. Also, I just gotta say, if I was murdered, I would hope to become a vengeful ghost.
Yeah, like, I want to be summoned if you say my name three times in the mirror. That sounds dope as fuck.
Nicole, Nicole, Nicole. I feel like if I just said it three times in the bathroom, you'd be like, what?
You'd be like, yeah. Just show up behind you.
It worked.
But as with any type of legend, no one really knows when this game or the story of Bloody Mary, like, really started. But historians believe that the lore started in the 70s with varying details per story. But all of the main themes are pretty much the same. Folklorist Alan Dundees suggests that the story and ritual of Bloody Mary started as an initiation into womanhood.
Okay.
It's kind of fucked up, but I can see how a man would come to that conclusion.
Yeah, for sure. This is just like a thing that girls do, though, because, like, we're all, like, fucked up little demons.
Right.
Like, and, like, little girls are feral animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're so, like, so much worse than boys. Like, boys just punch each other and it's over. Like, we'll ruin your fucking life for the next 5 years.
Purposefully.
Yeah. And not feel anything about it.
And then when we're 32, we'll be like, remember that time we ruined that girl's life?
Honestly, though, don't fuck with girls.
No, little girls are fucking scary.
Yeah. So his reasoning for this is that once you call her, blood is supposed to show up, and the fact that the ritual usually takes place in a bathroom with young girls.
Okay.
It must have something to do with periods, am I right?
Hey, it's me, Alan Dundees. I'm here to give a little lecture on what I think Bloody Mary's all about. Okay, so basically I'm going to say that when a young girl experiences her first menses, that's what we call a period, if you will, she's gonna scream Bloody Mary in the bathroom three times, and it's just what they do. We don't know why. Science doesn't know why little girls do this, but it's what they do. And I know this for a fact because I, Alan Dundees, am a male folklorist, and I know everything.
Yes. Yeah. So not sure I subscribe to that theory. I mean, especially coming from a male folklorist named Alan Dundees.
His fucking name is Alan Dundees, and he spells Alan A-L-A-N. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be because little girls have periods.
It's definitely because of periods.
Blood in a girl? Yeah. Yeah, that means one thing.
Sounds a little mansplainy to me, but I guess if you want to subscribe to that, go for it. I'm not stopping you. You just do you. I don't know. Another theory.
I'm going to write him a letter.
Another theory is that the story comes from a more historical background, meaning that the origin and Bloody Mary herself could have come from a prominent woman in history.
Oh.
Mary Tudor, or Mary the First of England, was actually given the nickname of Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
She ruled in the 1500s, and she was a terrible woman who put a lot of religious dissenters or Protestants to death for heresy. Actually, over 280, to be exact, were burned at the stake.
Yeah. Isn't she the one that bathed in blood, too?
No. We'll talk about her later.
Okay.
Mary Tudor was Roman Catholic and reversed the Protestant reform her father, Henry VIII, implemented during his reign.
Oh, yeah, because he just wanted to get divorced. So he's like, I'm going to make a new religion.
Exactly.
The Church of England.
Exactly. She was the daughter of Henry VIII and a Spanish princess named Catherine of Aragon.
That sounds like an elf.
Yeah. Well, Henry VIII, for all of you guys that don't know, he was the one who shot blanks and blamed all of his wives for it. And Mary was one of his only surviving children. He did have a couple, but this is why she was the woman. She was a queen. Oh, well, a queen as a woman, because she didn't have any brothers before her. And then obviously, like, Elizabeth, whatever.
Yeah.
After voiding his marriage to Mary's mom, he married Anne Boleyn, who we also all know, and actually had Mary declared illegitimate because she feared Mary would come before her daughter Elizabeth when it came to ascending the throne. Spoiler, she did. But then Anne was beheaded because Henry VIII was a fucking psycho, and Mary eventually became queen in 1553.
You know what? Honestly, if Anne Boleyn had just like given him like a son, like it's not that hard.
And like honestly, what's your problem? It's her fault.
Like, why didn't she just like do that?
So Mary, once she became queen, she married Philip of Spain and was supposedly pregnant after 2 months. But when it came time to deliver, there was no baby. And then people questioned if she was pregnant at all.
Dude, she fucking pranked all of them.
She exhibited some signs, but then they just stopped and there was no baby. And it was dubbed a false pregnancy, which is where the whole Bloody Mary, I stole your baby or I killed your baby line came from.
It's pretty fucked up. Also, I'd like to think that she's just like full on pranking.
She's totally.
I am pregnant.
Well, and they wanted to have an heir because she was a woman and people were like, and then, like, obviously she was afraid that someone was going to come for her title because she was a woman. So if she had a son, then would be like, oh, that's okay. Like, he's going to take over.
She just, like, literally, like, put a pillow in her dress and was like, it's a boy. I can tell. Its name is going to be Frank.
Well, she actually experienced a ton of miscarriages and fake pregnancies throughout her life, which she believed was punishment from God for her burning all of those people at the stake for believing in, like, the wrong God. Okay. So, like, yeah, probably. Like,
honestly,
you burned over 280 people on the stake because they didn't follow the religion that you wanted them to.
Yeah.
Not great.
I mean, I don't... Yeah.
Another terrible person in history our Bloody Mary could be modeled after is Elizabeth Bathory.
Is she the one?
Also known as the Queen of Blood. I'm sure we've all heard the story of her, but I'll give us a little refresher.
Please do.
Elizabeth Bathory was a Hungarian countess who might actually also be the most prolific female serial killer in all of history.
Yeah.
It's believed that she may have murdered over 650 women and girls during her 54 years on this planet.
Would you say she was a Hungary for blood?
I would. Oh, wait. See, our girl, Elizabeth, was just a big fan of torture.
Oh, I mean, big fan.
She loved it. Probably because she also suffered from a mental disorder. I mean, like most nobles at the time, because they were all basically fucking inbred, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, literally no one told them no.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, exactly.
This is like Joffrey syndrome.
Yes.
Yes.
She was known for outbursts of rage and also, she could have possibly had epilepsy, but obviously at the time, no one knew what the hell that was. But also, just because her family, everyone loved torture. Like, it was just, like, in her family, just what they did.
Yeah, it's like, that's, like, what rich people did for fun.
Well, apparently, they once sewed a man into the stomach of a sick horse and then left him to die as punishment. And this is something that she witnessed as a young child. So it kind of stuck with her. And she was like, oh, yeah, like, this is just what we do, right?
She was, like, eating popcorn.
Daddy, yes. Let me ever sew it. Let me try. Basically, like, her whole family, they all did this shit.
That's a fucked up thing to do. Also, the logistics of that. Look, I'm a horse girl. Horses' bellies are not that big. Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's pretty crazy.
Can you imagine, like, dying in the belly of a horse?
No.
It's insane.
I literally cannot imagine it.
But Elizabeth loved torturing young girls, especially.
Of course.
Which historians believe to be in part because she was bisexual.
Wow.
And at the time, that was a no-no. So, like, she couldn't partake in her desires. So instead she tortured her desires. I don't know how that works.
I feel like sometimes, look, this might be a hot take, okay? I feel like sometimes history or people, men that are scholars, are like, oh, well, obviously, a woman does this because of two reasons. Either she's on her period.
She's on her period.
Or she's a gay and she's repressing that. And it's like, settle down. Sometimes people are just fucking evil.
Or it's because she watched her dad, like, chop off this dude's dick the other day when she was, like, 7.
Yeah. She probably just, like, does fucked up shit.
Because her parents do.
And it's not because she's bisexual.
No. No. But no. They always have to mansplain everything. So she was also known to put needles in her servants' lips and fingernails, like just for funsies.
Obviously.
Forcing her servants outside in the freezing snow, naked and wet, just to, you know, watch them freeze to death.
So she's just she loved a fucked up person.
She loved it. They didn't have TV back then, you know. Just got to find entertainment in other ways.
She didn't have anyone to say, Lisa, I have something to tell you. James bumped my nose.
James bumped my nose.
She's like, Elizabeth, I have something to tell you. I'm going to go walk in the snow and freeze to death.
Hey, if Vanderpump Rules were around back in the day, maybe she wouldn't have killed everyone. I don't know. Another one of her favorites was covering her victims in honey and then tying them up naked outside, leaving them to be attacked by bees and ants.
That's fucked up.
She loved it.
That's
absolutely loved it.
I would rather get sewn into the belly of a horse than get eaten alive.
But the story we all know and love is that Elizabeth is known for bathing in blood.
Obviously.
The blood of young girls, specifically virgin girls. Virgin blood. She loved it.
Oh, people love a virgin, man.
They also this also led to rumors that she was a vampire. But really, all she wanted to do was keep her skin looking young. And what better way to do that than to bathe in the blood of virgins?
I mean, if it worked.
I mean, retinol and tretinoin did not exist at the time.
Yeah.
And all she wanted was a good skincare routine.
Like, she's, like, moisturized. She's hydrated. She's in her lane. What does it matter if she kills a couple dozen virgins for their blood?
I mean, that's all we really want, ladies, is a good skincare routine.
They weren't using their blood. It was just in them.
They were just peasants.
Who cares?
She just wanted to be beautiful for her husband. So actually, it's his fault.
Honestly, the beauty standards, it is his fault.
No, I'm just kidding. We're just kidding. But originally, she killed peasant girls, but then escalated to noble women. And that's where she got in trouble with the authorities, because no one really gave a shit about the peasants.
No.
But then she got a little feisty. Her servants were questioned and executed for being forced to bury her victims' bodies, which is fucked up.
Do you think she used their blood, too? She's like, well, waste not, want not.
Probably. Well, it depends on if they're virgins or not. While Elizabeth claimed that she was innocent and didn't commit the crimes at all, she was never tried for her crimes, but instead she was imprisoned into a room in the castle that was built with just two slits for air and food to pass through.
Yeah, so she couldn't kill anybody.
Right, she was just like imprisoned in a room, which probably had like a really comfy bed.
It was definitely like the prison that Martha Stewart went to.
Totally.
You know, like it was like just as nice.
Totally. So she lived in that room for 4 years until she was found dead on her floor in 1614.
Do you think if she had been able to like bathe in blood, she would have still been alive?
Maybe. I mean, so she was 54 when she died, which means that she was caught when she was 50. So how many fucking people did she kill?
Literally hundreds.
Yes.
I bet it was almost 1,000.
I don't know, but some historians have questioned whether or not Elizabeth actually did commit these crimes, or if it was just made up so that Count Thurzo could steal her land from her, which honestly could be true.
Yeah, also that's like an evil-ass name, so I think Count Thurzo did some bad stuff.
Right, he's like freaking, what's the lion's name in the king?
Scar?
Yeah, he's like freaking Scar. That's what he sounds like to me, you know? I don't know.
I think so. I was thinking more of like Yzma from like Emperor's New Groove.
Or what's the bad guy from Aladdin?
Jafar.
Jafar.
He's got do you not remember any of these people's names?
Dude, I don't watch cartoons.
Me either.
But yeah, so honestly, that could be true. I mean, if you're going to get your land stolen from you and die in prison, at least, I guess, going down in history for bathing in virgin blood and like being the best, or I guess worst female serial killer in history is like kind of cool. So like,
I mean, we're still talking about her.
Whatever. Yeah.
She's the best around.
Yeah. So either way, I don't know. That just seems like a lot of people to kill and not ever get caught.
Literally.
So I kind of believe that she could have been a little.
I mean, maybe she like killed some people.
Yeah, maybe.
I think she definitely like did it.
And they just like exaggerated it.
Yeah. I have to say, though, like, bathing in blood, like, people didn't really take a lot of baths back then.
Mm.
Like, you just didn't right. do that. So I feel like bathing in blood, like, you would know if someone has, like, frequently bathed in blood because they didn't have showers.
Right. Well, so her servants apparently knew. That's why they got executed.
They're like, oh, what's that in your hair? Oh, just congealed blood.
Or they could have gotten executed because they didn't want them to be like, no, then, like, none of this is true.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So they, like, just need to tie up all loose ends. There you go. You never know.
She was framed.
She was framed.
She never killed anyone.
No. Team Elizabeth Bathory. Another historical figure that Bloody Mary could be attributed to is Mary Worth, a supposed witch who was executed in the Salem witch trials. And this one, to me, seems like this makes the most sense of who our girl Mary might actually be named after.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are actually two different versions of Mary Worth. Both of them were witches.
Obviously.
But one was from Salem.
Sure.
And one was apparently from Illinois.
The Salem of the Midwest.
The Salem of the Midwest. So first, we're going to start off with the Mary Worth from Salem. So the Mary Worth from Salem was supposedly a witch who practiced dark magic, according to the uber religious people of the Salem witch trials.
Oh, I'm wearing a Salem sweater right now.
You are. We got that when we were in Salem.
Sure does.
So she was burned at the stake.
Shh.
Really, she was probably just like a woman who said a thing once that a man didn't like, and then she was like punished for it, you know? According to the legend, and legend, take that as it's a legend.
Right.
She lived in a small cabin on the outskirts of town.
Spooky.
And made herbal remedies for the villagers.
Spooky.
But some of the locals didn't trust her and her workings, and they pegged her as a witch and stayed away for fear of being cursed by her.
I mean, what? Because she, like, ground up one baby in a mortal and pestle one time for, like, a flying salve? Right. One time?
Apparently, girls in the village started to go missing one day, and no one could figure out where they could have gone to. So they made their way to Mary's cabin. She told them she had no idea of what happened to them, but of course they didn't believe her because she was an outsider and they needed to lay blame somewhere.
Obviously.
They claimed that Mary suddenly appeared looking younger and that the missing girls may have something to do with her transformation. But, like, honestly, she probably just had, like, a great skincare routine because of all of the herbs she worked with.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And also because she stayed away from people and all of their drama.
Yes, and also she's, like, living on the edge of the forest. She's, like, not getting all that UV from, like, working mm-hmm. in the fields. Like, mm-hmm. she is just naturally a 10. It's mm-hmm. not her fault.
Mm-hmm.
Hater's gonna hate.
Hate is gonna hate. So the story goes that one night the miller's daughter heard a noise, but only she could hear it, and she followed the noise into the woods towards Mary's cabin. Nothing anyone could do or say would stop her from continuing on her way. The villagers followed her, trying to get her to come back, but she would not. When they approached Mary's cabin, they found her standing in front of it with a wand pointed right at the miller's house. Mary herself was glowing, and the miller's daughter was headed straight towards her.
This sounds very real. Yes. Like, this definitely happened.
The villagers got their guns and pitchforks and ran to the aid of the miller's daughter. They shot Mary in the hip, and she fell.
No. Well, that's her witch hip.
That's her witch hip. That's where her magic comes from. While incapacitated, they tied Mary to a stake and burned her for practicing witchcraft.
Okay.
As Mary stood burning at the stake, she yelled out her last dying curse, saying that if anyone uttered her name while looking into a mirror, she would come back and get her revenge.
Okay, very specific.
Yes.
But I have to say, if I was being murdered in any capacity, I would 100% screech out like a curse.
Yeah, totally.
Because you're already dying.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'm going to freak these bitches out even more. What's the one thing I could make them afraid of?
Yeah.
Also, I didn't think of this, and I'm just thinking of this now. Did mirrors exist in this time?
Okay. So I'm saying it's very specific.
Like I said, this was a legend.
Can I Google this?
Yes.
I think mirrors did exist. But mirrors, that feels like a thing that, like,
it was like rich people had them, not like villagers.
Mirrors in Salem.
When did mirrors get invented?
When were mirrors invented? Okay, mirrors were invented in 4000 BCE.
Okay. So the
mirrors
they were there. A thing. Okay.
Right.
So okay, then yeah, then I would pick like the most, well, I would go even further. I would pick like the most common thing and be like, every time you plant a seed for your farm, I'm going to come back and kill you. Like every time you take a shit, I'm going to come back and kill you. You know, I would do something that like was more common. And then, okay. And then they'd be afraid to shit, which would be hilarious, honestly. And then I would get my revenge.
Honestly, that would be fucking sick.
So too. Funny, right?
Okay, mirrors were extremely rare during this time period.
Yeah, so it's like probably very unlikely that she said that.
She definitely wasn't like...
You know that one thing you guys have seen once when that rich person came to town? Yeah, don't ever look in it. Or else...
You'll probably never see a mirror in your life, but if you do...
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, and also, like you said, I'm not sure that they burned people at the stake. I think it was mostly hanging at the Salem and throwing Salem.
Hung people in America.
But she was, like, different, though, because it was, like, an outside village. I don't know if they were actually in Salem, but whatever. It's probably not true.
I've read a lot about the Salem witch trials, and I feel like a big thing of it was, like, women, like, gaining, like, little iotas of, like, rights and power and, like, men not liking that. So, oh, you're definitely a witch. I feel like if she did exist and she did live by herself and, again, she was, like, hydrated, like in her own lane, like, living her fucking life. Like,
she probably did get killed just for being, like, an independent woman.
They're like, she's a witch. How do I know she doesn't have a husband? Right. Also, she knows what a mirror is, and I don't know what that is.
A mirror?
What saith to thee, Mary? Pray! What is thy shiny thing upon thine wall?
Yeah, so with Mary dead... The townsfolk went back to her cabin, where they found unmarked graves.
In a mirror.
The exact number of unmarked graves as there were missing girls.
How did, if they were unmarked?
They don't, you know what? It could have just been dead cats at this, no one knows. It's probably dead cats. She lived alone in the middle of the forest.
It definitely wasn't the exact number of missing girls. I will tell you that right now.
Well, obviously the story of this Bloody Mary is not proven by actual historical records. It's just pure legend. There is no record of a Mary Worth living or being burned at the stake during the Salem witch trials. But I will say that when I was like searching this named like Mary Worth Salem witch trials, like to try to see if there was any Mary Worth at all. Mm-hmm. Something on lives like some person on Twitter was like, I am the granddaughter of Mary Worth.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, that's the only piece of information that we have that she actually existed is this person on Twitter claiming that she is the granddaughter of her.
Hi, excuse me. I am the granddaughter of the witches that you simply cannot burn. So, like, I don't even know, like, if you think that, like, you could burn them, but you couldn't, except my grandmother, Mary Worth, did get burned. Yeah. And I'm her granddaughter somehow, even though she died and never had a baby. Mm-hmm. How is she her granddaughter if she died?
No one knows. That's what I'm saying. It's so stupid.
Makes no sense.
She actually had a baby and she hid it underneath the floorboards of her cabin, and then the cats took care of it and raised it, and then she grew up to be Michelle Pfeiffer in Batman.
And that is my mommy. My mom.
The second Mary Worth is the one from Chicago. Maybe.
I already like her more.
Yeah. It's uncertain, like the other Mary Worth story. So, like, take this with a grain of salt, people. What? This is legend.
That one was so believable.
Nobody write me, like, a one-star review being like, so bad. Mary Worth didn't exist.
This wasn't even Mary Worth 60 seconds.
Yeah, please no one do that, okay? Like, this is a
legend. Wait, no, actually do it.
Actually, that'd be kind of funny. But give us 5 stars.
No, give us 1. I think it's funny.
Well, according to this legend, Mary Worth lived on Old Wagon Road in Chicago during the Civil War era. And according to the paranormal investigator and leader of Lake County's Ghostland Society, Bob Jensen.
Shout out to Bob.
Shout out to Bob. She used to live in Wadsworth, Illinois, and on Old Wagon Road. So I don't know, maybe like Wadsworth was also considered.
I feel like it's like Chicagoland, and at like Chicagoland this point, area. It was like they've played it fast and loose.
Right.
There were no zip codes.
And Old Wagon Road has since been renamed Dilly's Road, and it's just north of St. Patrick's Cemetery.
And you know why we know that?
Because we are first and foremost a geography podcast.
Only.
Her story takes place in the 1860s, and this Mary Worth was a part of the Underground Railroad.
A lot is happening in this. It's like, it's the Civil War. There's the Underground Railroad. Like, I don't know.
Well, she was a part of the reverse Underground Railroad.
What is she a bag?
She used to pretend that she was a part of the Underground Railroad, bringing in slaves, pretending to help them. But then she'd send them back to the hell they escaped from for money.
What?
Isn't that like the fucking worst? Like, that's worse than just killing them straight out.
That's worse than just, yes, than fully not helping someone.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine thinking you're free and then this bitch being like, well, actually.
I'm going to say terrible. It. This, you know what? Controversial. This might be a hot take.
Mm.
Mary Worth, she's the first Karen.
Oh, my God.
She called the manager.
She is the first Karen.
Your enslaved
Karen.
Person is here. I'd like to return
her. She is the first Karen. Yes.
Yep. I bet she had a haircut, too. It's real spiky in the back. That's totally. Why I thought she was a witch.
It was rumored that Mary was also into witchcraft and that she would practice these dark arts on the slaves that she kidnapped.
I believe it.
So she would torture them, eventually kill them, and use them for her rituals. In the beginning, the townsfolk had...
I literally hate the word folk.
Folk. I'm like, folk. It sounds like I'm saying it wrong in my head, but it's townsfolk. Had an idea of what she was doing, but since it was happening to slaves, like, they were just like, whatever, like, we don't really care. It's like, don't ask, don't tell type of thing.
Yeah.
But then, as time went on, it started to bother people. And then they decided to take matters into their own hands.
All right, I want to reverse my stance before I said I like her better. I simply do not. I like the other one better.
Yeah, she's a lot
this
cooler.
This girl is a fucking twat.
She fucking sucks.
You know what? I hope she comes through my mirror. I'd like to have a conversation with her.
Yeah. According to Bob Jensen, they lynched her on her own property. But I also read that she, too, was burned at the stake.
I feel like they weren't burning people in the 1860s.
So, I don't know. Either or, both terrible ways to die. So, going with the time, though, I'd say that probably lynching was the method used just because that...
America was a little lynch yeah. crazy for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And according to Chicago Haunts, colon...
Yes.
Ghost Lore of the Windy City by Ursula Bielski.
Oh, I think we have that book.
We talked about her in our Bachelor's Grove episode, too.
Okay.
She's like a Chicagoland paranormal like historian.
Yeah, I love that name, too, Ursula. It's so cool.
Yeah. So in the 1960s, a Lake County resident in her 90s claimed to have watched Mary Worth burn at the stake.
Oh, sick.
Which is, I guess, where the burning at the stake rumor came from. And like I said, we mentioned Ursula in our Bachelor's Grove episode. And so no one really knows exactly the method of her death, but she was killed for witchcraft and just honestly being the first Karen, I guess, too, also.
100%, dude. She would like bring like a coupon for like expired like
milk.
Yeah. And be like, you have to honor it.
Now, there are two versions of where Mary was laid to rest. Some say her body was buried on her own property off of Old Wagon Road. The second was that she was buried at St. Patrick's Cemetery in Wadsworth, Illinois. It's hard to believe that the townsfolk would bury a reported witch in a Christian cemetery,
because
that would just be like sacrilegious. So it's more likely she was buried on her own property.
Yeah, and like that happened all the time too. Like you just got like buried by your house.
Right. Jensen says that about 100 years later, a subdivision was built on her property. And when they were doing construction, a stone was found on the land, and of course, they removed it. Yeah. Now, obviously, I think you know where I'm going with this story.
This is some burial ground shit.
That stone was apparently Mary Worth's gravestone. And apparently, it wasn't just removed. It was placed like a stepping stone in a path to one of the houses that they built. And then spookiness ensued.
That's fucked up, man. So I feel like don't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't know. They just, it was just like a stone. They're like, oh, this is like a pretty stone we found
on our property. Well, Barbara, will you look at this stone that we found in the yard? I think we're going to use it right over here near the gazebo. What do you think? Yeah. Oh, honey, you think we should put it by the hot tub?
Honey, put it by the hot tub.
Anything you say. Happy wife, happy life.
Chicago accent right there. So apparently at this house, dishes would fly off the shelves, and then the house burned down, actually, twice.
Dude, oh, fuck.
So it's basically just like curse land at this point. Apparently you can take a walking tour in Gurnee, Illinois, that gives all of the gory details of Bloody Mary Worth, which we should do, because Gurnee's like, what, an hour from us?
It literally approximately. Is like 10 minutes from where I work, yes.
So there's no definitive proof of who the real Bloody Mary was or who the spooky childhood sleepover game was created for or after. But I guess you can take your pick. Honestly, it could be any of them in my book. I like to think of it as a version of all of them combined, you know, like all the Bloody Marys of history.
Yeah.
And I also want to know if anyone grew up playing the game. And if so, if you experienced anything weird.
Oh, hell yeah.
Feel free to DM us. Or if, like, you played it and nothing happened, I don't know, make some shit up and, like, we'll definitely read it because we'll think it's real, so.
If you write an insane, even made-up story, I will read it.
I want to talk about my Bloody Mary story. It's just
really good. I would love it. Go ahead.
So I actually did see something in a mirror once.
How old were you? Set the scene.
I was probably 8 years old, and I grew up with a neighbor who was 4 years older than me. So, like.
Wait, what's their name?
So we would always have sleepovers. Like, she would come over to my house. She lived like three houses down from me, right?
Yeah.
And she always used to fuck with me because she was older than me. Mm-hmm. And that's just how she was. And it never really got a rise out of me because, like,
you're a demon.
I'm, yeah, just very evil. So one time we were in her bathroom. Mm-hmm. We were saying Bloody Mary. We said it three times or whatever.
Obviously.
And I shit you not, I swear, I saw two silver glowing eyes coming closer in the mirror, And she was standing by the door and she was like, I can't open the door. I can't open the door. It's locked. It's locked. And I was like, open the door. And then her mom ended up opening the door for us. I don't know if she was fucking with me and just like, I can't open it. But I don't know, till this day. I swear.
Can you picture it?
Yeah, I can still picture it.
Was it spooky scary?
It was like two silver dots, and they were slowly coming closer. I saw it, but honestly, it could have just been my brain trying to see whatever.
I believe you.
But I can still see it in my head, so.
I believe that you saw something, whether it was made up or not.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That's fucking scary.
I didn't see the face of a woman, though. I kind of wish I had.
What if you just saw, like, Michael Keaton? Who would be the scariest celebrity?
See that.
Who would be the scariest celebrity to see in the mirror?
Probably Willem Dafoe. He's just scary looking.
I'm going to say Gary Busey. I don't like looking at his face, period.
I feel like I can't look at his like mouth and not laugh.
Yeah.
You know? Sylvester He's Stallone. Just like, why would you be afraid of Sylvester Stallone?
I hate his face.
He's like a gentle giant.
I don't like his face.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
If I heard Adrian.
Hey, yo, Noel.
In the mirror, I would shit my fucking pants.
Well, that's what you have to say instead of Bloody Mary. You just have to say, hey, yo, Adrian, three times.
And I'm going to do it. And then Sylvester Stallone will appear.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I got on Bloody Mary.
Do you think if you say, hey, Tone, three times, you get gabagooled in the face?
Tony Soprano will show up with some cold cuts and a cigar.
Yeah.
Honestly, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, maybe we should do that later.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, also, I'd like to make a suggestion here, Nicole.
Yes.
When this episode comes out, which should be in, a couple days, right?
Yes.
Do you want to do a live on Instagram where we do Bloody Mary this weekend? We're doing it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're doing it.
Let's do it.
We're doing it.
Let's do it.
All right, so if you're listening to this, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it.
Stay tuned. We'll announce the time. Well, the place is going to be Instagram Live, but we'll announce the time.
Yeah. Let's do a Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. We're fucking doing it. All right. All right, cool. I have a listener lore. Yay. It's called Creepy Kids. Gotta love them. This is by our friend, Carrie Ann H.
Thank What's you, up, Carrie Ann?
She says, hey, ghouls, exclamation point. So cute.
That's adorable.
First of all, thank you. I've been listening forever, but when I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the start of the pandemic, your podcast got me through chemo and radiotherapy. Aww. Not many people chuckling about stuff in there, so thanks.
Aww.
Hey, baby, I hope you're doing good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyways, I thought I'd email you to tell you a little bit about my creepy kids. I have four, and they are all creepy. Maybe it's their mama's influence. Hmm. My hubby would certainly say so. But I'll tell you about my little moonbeam. I won't put his real name. He is a wonderfully weird 9-year-old that wants to be an inventor. I have taught them all that being weird is the best way to be.
Yep.
Don't blend in. You were born to stand out.
Yes.
Which brings me on to the creepy kid bit. So I'm a huge geek and I love history, folklore, and nature. One afternoon when he was around 3.5, I'd say rainy afternoon, but we're in the northwest of the UK, so it's always bloody rain.
Bloody rain or
bloody rainy?
Bloody rain.
Bloody rainy is what she meant to say, but, you know, you can't type in an accent. We were watching a TV program called Time Team, where there was a team of archaeologists that go to sites and try to locate items from history. This particular time, they were located near us at a site. Creepy Kid was playing on the floor, happily ignoring us. The team on the program got to the point where they were all showing what they believed the building looked like around the Viking era. He looked up and he said, "Nope, I didn't build it like that. It had two lions further down," and continued playing again, ignoring the TV. We laughed and continued to watch. 20 minutes later, it got to the end of the program, and the host states that after filming finished, the team were rectifying the site, and further down, they found two stone lions at a gateway entrance. He said, "Oh, they found them. Good. I liked them." We were all dumbfounded. He said a few things about when I wasn't his mom or when his dad was his best friend. So now we're just like, I wonder which life that was in.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got past lives.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love when kids talk about past lives. I want to do a whole episode on
it. It's so cool.
There's so many cool stories. Mm-hmm. He stopped talking about these things when he was about 6, but he does say, "In my next life, I will," and then whatever he thinks that day. Hmm. His sisters are just as creepy, knowing I'm about to call them and responding before I do or answering questions that I haven't asked. Even seeing the quote-unquote person that stands in front of our garden, just looking in. But they're all different stories. Celebrate the strange and keep it unusual. Carrie Ann.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was cool. That was creepy. I loved it, and I love you.
I only want kids if they're going to be creepy like that.
All children are fucking scary. All of them. Carrie Ann, thank you so much for your story. We hope that you are doing well. If anyone has a creepy kid story or whatever, maybe you remember a past life, maybe you're a Viking, love it. Let us know. Write to us at quiteunusualpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on the DMs, on the social medias. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, literally fucking all of them, and it's exhausting.
Quite Unusual Pod.
Just Google it.
Patreon, Quite Unusual Pod.
Yeah.
P.O. Box, not Quite Unusual Pod, but P.O. Box 1212 in Des Plaines, Illinois, 60017.
Yeah, that's right. Also, if you want... You know what? I'm going to do it. If you want to leave us a review and tell us how fucking long you last
in our episodes or in the bedroom.
It doesn't, whatever, man, wherever your vibe is, please rate, review, subscribe, or don't, and just fucking leave us a review.
We got to push that one down.
Please say some weird shit to us, because honestly, it makes me laugh a lot.
I remember the first
bad review we got. I was like, we have to change everything about our personalities.
Right.
And now I'm like, your mom.
Right? I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So leave us a review. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, or there's like also
and various Spotify. Sites. You can give us stars on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can't write some weird shit.
We'll accept both, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Shall we?
Remember to celebrate the strange.
And keep it unusual. Bye. This is a part of the show. We give praise for the all-knowing leaders, supporters of the podcast, and all-around benevolent beings. This week, we're going to do one of my all-time favorite things. We're going to tell you the woodland creature that we think you remind us of, with little to no explanation as to why.
Tim M. A baby brown bear.
Oh my god, so cute.
Adorable.
Evan K. Just like a little chipmunk scurrying about.
Katie T. Absolutely a majestic hawk.
Ew. Adam K. A little baby deer.
John S. A mother deer watching over his baby Adam K.
I don't know why, but that does fit somehow.
It does.
Caitlin R. A lion. Yeah, I know that's not a woodland creature, but for some reason it just fucking feels right.
Feels right.
Yeah.
Alex C. A gorgeous praying mantis sitting atop a mushroom cap.
Oh, majestic. Jeff S. Just like a little brown bunny. Like you can barely see him. Just like hiding in the woods.
So cute.
And Nicole, I'd love to do one for you.
Oh, please do.
Okay, I think you might be like, I don't know, some kind of like mysterious animal that like bolts out of its little hole and it just like delivers a venomous bite to your ankle and then it disappears into its lair, never to be seen again.
I love that. I love that. I think you're an owl.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just an owl.
No,
Thank you to all of our coven members on Patreon. Without you, we are nothing.
We're nothing. We're not worthy.
We're not worthy.
We're just little baby owls, or sometimes little venomous animals, just like hunting and lurking through the woods, looking for some sort of companionship that we crave from you, because without you, we are nothing.